What a privilege it is to be here tonight as we are doing the will of God by worshiping Him in spirit and in truth and coming together to study another portion of what thus saith the Lord. You'll never go wrong coming to worship. You'll never go wrong coming to Bible class. As long as the teacher is properly prepared, the preacher has done his work, you'll never go wrong. It's good to see this number here tonight. Hope, pray, and trust that as we are about to study the will of God, that you'll accept these words after you have gone and checked them to make sure that whatever is being said is so. Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. We'll look at some things that our brother said, who was an elder in the Lord's church. This is the second letter to those who are scattered, if you will. These are the ones that were baptized into Christ in Acts chapter 2, at least four of those in that particular verse, in verse number 1 of chapter 1. And he is saying some things here that I want to capitalize on. He says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Tonight I want us to glean from these passages and think about the title of the lesson for tonight, and that is the necessity of mental clarity. The necessity of mental clarity. When we consider mental clarity is the ability to read reality accurately. Did you get that? When we consider this, in other words, it simply means to see things as they are. That is actually truth. Truth is reality. You remember what Jesus said on one occasion in John 8, verse number 31? He said, "You will know the truth. The truth shall make you free." One thing about truth, truth, according to what John said in 1 John 2 and verse 21, that there is no lie of the truth. Now, why are those two passages that we just gave, one from Jesus, the other from John, John being inspired by the Spirit that Jesus sent, why are those two passages important? It's because when we consider reality, reality is always truth. And truth is always reality. But at any time, a lie or deception is filtered in or added, you have skewed the view. And this is why when we consider the necessity of mental clarity, and we think about the divine nature, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, they are truth. God is truth. Exodus 34, verse 5 through 6. Jesus is truth. Ephesians 4, verse 21. The Spirit, He is truth. John 16, verse 13. Now, the reason why we say this, or I'm bringing these points out, is because when we consider what we read in 1st or 2nd Peter chapter 1, especially verse number 3, look at that again. Look at what Peter says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness or piety. How? through the what? Knowledge. Through knowledge. How can I see reality? How can I have mental clarity? How can things truly be clear in my mind unless I have the Word of God? I venture to say that it will be very difficult. I won't say that you cannot see truth without the Word of God. We see trees, we see animals. The truth of the matter is that someone created that. You don't need the Word of God to teach you that. But you need the Word of God to teach you who created it. That's the clarity. And that is with anything that you do. That if we are truly going to see the divine nature for who He is, friends, we have to go to the knowledge. But notice what He calls us by. Notice your text. He calls us by His virtue and His glory. He's calling us to His moral standard, who He is. Now, the reason why I want to bring this out is because when we consider who God is, and I said on this morning that God is the apex, He's the zenith of morality, which means that when I focus upon Him through His Word, I ought to be able to see what is what and have great assurance and great clarity when I see them for what they are. But Stephen, this is the world that we live in today, and even in the church, that many are clouding the vision. But when you go to the Word of God, did you hear me? When you go to the Word of God, God clears the matter. He sets the matter straight. Notice Proverbs 16, and look at verse number 16. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Now, that's a great passage. By mercy and truth. Now, one thing we do know about the mercy of God, it is God's mercy that saves us, Titus 3 and verse 5. We know it is truth that Jesus brought, John 1 and verse number 17. Friends, when we consider God's mercy and we consider the truth, both of them are designed to clear things up that we may be able to see perfectly. And friends, we can see perfectly. We can see things for what God says they are. Brother Roy said in his class on this morning, he brought out Isaiah 5 and verse number 20. Woe unto him who call evil good and good evil. Bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Light for dark and dark for light. Friends, why is that important? Because the Word of God teaches us what is what. And this is why we have to have a great diet of the Word of God. But then when we consider Deuteronomy chapter 13, we don't have time to really look into these passages, verses 12 through 15, but put these in your notes if you're taking notes. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 12 through 15, as a matter of fact, let's look at it. And the reason why, because I think you'll benefit from it. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 12 through verse number 15, here Moses receives from God to tell the second generation of children of Israel how to get to the bottom of things, if you will. Friends, it's nothing new that we have investigators. It's nothing new that we have private investigators. It's nothing new that we have detectives. God is the best detective that you'll ever go to. And here we see that if a person wants to get to the bottom of a matter, God is teaching them that if you want to see this thing for what it is, mental clarity, you got to follow this procedure. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 12 through verse number 15, he says, if you hear someone in one of your cities, which the Lord your God gives you to dwell in, saying, corrupt men have gone out from among you and enticed the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods. Now, this is what's being said, okay? Which you have not known. Notice, then you shall inquire, number one. Search out, number two. And ask diligently. Now, notice the three things that they needed to be doing if they were going to get to the bottom of this matter in order to see past the haze in order to see past the things that are blinding people and get to the bottom of the situation. Notice what he says. And if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination was committed among you, you shall surely strike the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying it, all that is in it, and is livestock with the edge of the sword, so forth and so on. In essence, if you want to get to the bottom of the situation of this individual who are trying to lead people astray to go serve other gods, this is what you need to do. It's the same when it comes to the Word of God. It's the same when we can't see things clearly. And friends, it is nothing new for us as people not to see things as clear as we need to see them. There are different things that cloud our judgment. People cloud our judgment. Situations cloud our judgment. Circumstances cloud our judgment. Sin clouds our judgment. Remember the garden. What took place in the garden? We had this serpent, and we had Eve, and Eve is talking to this serpent, and the next thing you know, we find Eve being beguiled, and the word literally means, as relates to 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 9, that her whole mind was touched by the words of the serpent. He took his time clouding God, and you know what? That's what happens to the people of God at times. That when we dabble and when we put ourselves around certain situations and circumstances, when we begin to read things that are not thus saith the Lord, friends, we take the chance on having our vision clouded. When God says, I want you to see clearly. It's unfortunate that people would rather have a degree from the school of hard knocks than to just go to the Word of God. Romans 15:4, the things that are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. You get that? You stop and you consider, I don't have to do what they did. I can just read about it. And God is saying, now, what do you want to do? I remember on one occasion, I think I told the congregation, it was in San Antonio, and this guy, you know, was just got out of a situation, and you know, we all done some things we probably shouldn't have done, but this guy has done a lot, and he wanted to talk to the youth. He wanted to be a youth minister. You know, well, I've been through a lot, and because I've been through a lot, I ought to be able to teach them what not to go to. I said, the Bible teaches us that. And I said, you don't have to mess up your life in order to be a youth minister. And truth be told, parents, we're the youth minister. But two things happened in that garden. Number one, subtlety happened. Number two, deception happened. Two things. Two things clouded Eve's mind. Now I'm going to take my time and develop this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse number 3, we notice something. And the reason why I'm bringing these particular points out, because under our theme, arise out of sleep and awake to righteousness. Friends, it's vitally important that we have mental clarity. I remember on one occasion that Brother Steve and I was talking, and he said something that was very powerful, that we ought to be able to have mental clarity, and the Word of God is what gives us that mental clarity. Yet, sometimes people try to look within themselves for mental clarity. Sometimes they're trying to look for mental clarity in self-help books. But I'm reminded of what Jeremiah said. Oh, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. The truth is not in us. The truth is in Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3, notice what the Bible here says. Paul, he brings this situation up because the Corinthians found themselves in the same situation. He says, but I fear lest as a chaste virgin. I fear somehow, sorry about that. I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Notice the word deceived. Subtlety is the word. The idea there is that it looks like it's good and true on the surface, but after investigation, it's found to be false. Have you ever heard something that sounded good, but after you thought about it and pondered it and researched it, you realize that's false? But here was the problem with Eve. Once she partook of that fruit, it was too late. Once she probably realized, man, we're in trouble, her eyes had been opened. But then there's another word. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 14. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 14, notice what the Bible here has to demonstrate to us. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. And Adam was not deceived. There's our word. But the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. The word deceived there is very interesting. It means to delude. Her mind was deluded, which meant that she had information that was misleading placed upon her mind. Now, why is this important? Why should the church, why should we know these things? Because, friends, we are inundated with messages. And sometimes we just take things in, hook, line, and sinker, and we don't check them out. We don't research it. And what happens is it clouds our judgment. And I said this last week to the congregation. I said, if we're not careful, we'll put ourselves in a position to listen to man rather than listening to God. And what happens? Man has listened to man for so long that when God speaks through his word, he can't hear him. Mental clarity. So how do we fix this? In Proverbs 18 and verse number 17, for subtlety, this is how we repair this problem. And God himself has given the remedy for us to fix problems in our lives. In Proverbs 18 and verse number 17, we have to put ourselves in this position. The first one to plead his cause seem right until his neighbor comes and examines him. What does that teach us? It teaches us that we ought to be humble, so humble that I may have some thoughts, I may have some reasoning, but because I want to be right with God, if someone challenges me on something that's in my life, maybe something that I believe, some lifestyle that I have, and they say, hey, why don't you look at this passage? Look at this concept. Look what's going on here. We ought to be humble enough to say, you know what? Thank you for loving me. I'm going to go check that out. I'm going to check that out. But sometimes we bow up. And that's the last thing we need to do. And let me tell you why. Remember, there was a situation in the days of Josiah. And in the days of Josiah, Pharaoh Necho came up upon him. You go and you read that. And Pharaoh Necho was actually laboring for God. And Pharaoh Necho told Josiah, stand down. But he didn't. And Josiah died in the battle because of that. But here's the problem. If Josiah would have done what he did previously, and that was consult God on this matter, he would have known this was of God. Where do we get in most of our trouble? I venture to say that most leaders in the Lord's church get in trouble in this point, in this place. Most members of the church get in trouble at this point. We walk according to our own understanding instead of asking God, what's your will? What do you want? James 1 and verse number 5, I consult the wisdom. The wisdom that comes forth from above, James 3 and verse 13 and following. Why? Because I want to be examined. I want to make sure that I'm standing with God. Notice Proverbs 11 and look at verse 14. In Proverbs 11 and verse number 14, this is another way that we can fix the problem of subtlety, if you will. Meaning that on the surface it looks right, but in reality it's wrong. And keep in mind that we're designed to have mental clarity. Is this the right person for me? Is this the right job for me? Is this the right congregation? Is this the Lord's church? In Proverbs 11 and verse 14, There the Bible says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, notice, there's safety. It's all right for me to call Brian, to call Raphael, to call Dennis, to call Rick Popejoy and say, hey, I got this situation. Tell me your thoughts on it. Oh, a good carpenter to say, measure twice, cut once. I said that to a carpenter at the gym, and he said, yeah, because you don't want to mess up a good piece of lumber. It could cost you. Sometimes you only have one opportunity to cut, correct? We stop and we consider these things for deception. We see some other things. Test all things. Hold fast to that which is true. Jesus said, search the scriptures. That takes care of the deception. How do I know if someone's deceiving me? I want to make sure that I can read that and that I can conclude what God concludes on that. But then I want us to take notice. What if the situation is not sinful? What if this is a situation that is good, better, and best? Every situation is not sinful. But sometimes there is a good decision. Sometimes there's a better decision. And then there's the best decision. This is how I handle this situation. Proverbs 37 and verse number 23. There the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What does that mean? That means that a good man is not walking according to his own understanding. A good man is not going to walk first and then ask God second. A good man is going to consult God first and then wait for understanding before they move. Oh, how many people get in trouble because of that? Look at Proverbs 16. Look at verse 1 and 9. Evelyn and I was driving to Richland Hills to go watch Mike play the other day. We were listening to the book of Proverbs, and there were some passages that just kept coming out. If you ever, let me just go ahead and plug this in. If you're ever on a long trip, just plug in the Word of God and let it play. You'll be amazed at what stays in your heart. In Proverbs 16, verse 1, verse 9, notice what the Bible says. The preparation of the heart belongs to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Drop down to verse 9 and we'll put these together. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Here, I got plans, but I always leave room for God. Question. How many people we know that they make decisions and you ask them, did you pray about that? No. Did you study about it? No. I mean, I don't have to pray and study about everything. Whoa. You know, we think like that. I was talking to a brother just last week. He made a false statement. And I said, give me a book, chapter, and verse for that. I don't have to give you book, chapter, and verse for everything. I said, that's foolish. You think about that. Friends, what am I trying to get us to see? That all of us have to work on that. All of us have to work on it. If we want our minds to be clear and spiritual and walking according to the Spirit's teaching, friends, we got to go to the Word of God, and God, wherever you're directing my steps, that's where I want to go. Wherever you're not, I don't want to be. Period, point blank. But then notice, at times, mental clarity comes when we understand timing. Timing. Being young, that's why it's good to have old people around you. I'm not trying to be derogatory. That's being real honest there. Old people who have wisdom. Old people who have exercised wisdom in their lives. And we live in a time today like Jeroboam. He contacted or consulted the older, and they gave him good advice. Let me go see what the younger guys have to say. He contacted the younger guys, and he said, make it hard on them. He took their advice. Split the kingdom. You know, sometimes younger don't want to listen to older. Well, they don't know what they're talking about. They're antiquated. That worked back then. It don't work now. Young people, be careful. I'm talking about us. Be careful. Older people are older people for a reason. And we ought to listen. They've been there and they've done that. And the last thing that you want as a young person is to make certain decisions that you got to come back around and say, you know what, you were right about that thing. Or your pride might won't even let you come back and say that. And now we stay in a society where the younger think that they know more than the older. Just by aspect of time, that can't be true. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, before I bore y'all to death, verses 1 through verse number 8, I was thinking about this. Mental clarity comes when we understand timing. Sometimes, Pope Joy, the timing is not right. It can be the right answer. It can be the right thing to do. It's just not right to do it now. Now, that's a hard lesson, Evelyn. And here we find in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8, God is telling us through the preacher there's a time for what? Everything. Which means that there may be a time that is not the time yet. Galatians 4 and verse number 4, God at the right time, in the fullness of the times, at the right time, he sent his son, born of a woman, born of the law, to redeem those who were under the law. Guess what? If he would have sent him any time before or any time after, it would have been the wrong time. Timing is everything. You think about a good basketball player, a good hockey player, football player, whatever. Matter of fact, Brent, that's your name?
Bryce.
Bryce and I was talking the other day, and we were talking about trucks. Remember that? And I was told I used to work on cars. And one thing about cars, you got to make sure that timing is right. And if that timing is not right, that car is going to stumble. It's going to fall on its face. It's going to go, ooh. That's what it'll do. And then what they did was they took away the distributor, and now they have distributorless ignition systems. Now they don't have a distributor going into the engine. Now they put it on the top, and now they got cam and crank sensors. And if those cam and crank sensors are not lined up, it's going to go, here's my point. Sometimes spiritually that can happen to us. If the timing is not right, we'll stumble on our face. But when the timing is right and we can see clearly, Ephesians 5, verse number 17, the will of God. It's just like a car hitting on all eight cylinders. And now we got these EcoBoost systems where you got six cylinders and they run like an eight cylinder or a four cylinder. Why? Because they understand timing. Timing. Friends, please hear this. We need mental clarity. We need to be able to see things the way God sees these things. And it takes time. It takes study. And we'll talk more about that here in a few minutes. So why the need for mental clarity and spiritual clarity, and why do I care? Number one, Jesus understood mental clarity because he understood the will of God, Matthew 26:42. Here is one of the most difficult times of Jesus' life. About to take upon the sin of the world, 2 Corinthians 5:20 and verse number 21. And he's in the garden, he's praying to God, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, notice the clarity of Jesus Christ, your will. Friends, that's powerful. And what is God teaching us? That during the most stressful times, I need you to keep your eyes on my son, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Why? Because I need you to be able to navigate your life clearly as you go through this trial. The Bible is right. But we got to understand the will of God. So we must focus on why we're here. Number one, we're here to glorify God. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 13, the preacher says this. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. This is what life is all about. reverencing God, keeping his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. That's interesting. Life is about demonstrating respect and being respectful to God and keeping his commandments? Yes. But what else is life about? Ephesians 2 and verse 10, glorifying God. How many people glorify themselves? How many people is all about me? I mean, we see it in sports all the time. They make a touchdown, they shoot a basket, they pump their chest. It's all about me. No, when the child of God does something, he looks up like Jesus did. To God be the glory. That's interesting. When I want to make a decision in my life, this is what I tell people. When young preachers call me and say, Brother Bonner, I'm ready to leave this congregation and go to another one. What do you think? I said, have you prayed about it? Will you leaving bring God the glory? Which decision will God get the most glory out of? It may be you staying, but it may be you going. It's the same thing in life. The job that I want, the spouse that I desire, the things that I want to do in this life, does God get glory out of my decision? How much glory will God get? And wherever God gets the most glory, that's the direction I want to go in. But sometimes we even have people who will move out of state, go to a place where the congregation of the Lord's church is not strong or even non-existent, and get there and fall away from the Lord. Friends, that's not God's glory. That's not God's will for a person's life. And we have one passage that'll prove it. God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Which means that whatever decision I make, it has to glorify God. If the person that I'm with that will not help me glorify God, then that's not the right one. If the job that I'm on will not help me glorify God, that's not the right job. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyhow, walls and windows. Friends, we make too many decisions and we don't consult God. It cost Josiah his life. Yet, Jesus consulted God and it brought life to every last one of us. Oh, I'm going to let you go. Y'all ain't looking right. Y'all look sleepy and tired. But I'm going to give you this last point because I studied it. How do we accomplish this task? I ask this question when I need to make decisions. Does God get the glory? Will this decision allow God to receive the most glory out of my life? Will God be glorified in and with this decision? What passages do I have or I can go to where I can see that I have authority to proceed forward? Therefore, I pray without ceasing. I have the attitude of thanksgiving, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus in my life. I meditate, meaning that I go into quiet time. I supplicate, Psalm 1, verse 1 through 6. How about this one? Mark 9 and verse number 2, Jesus told his disciples, y'all come, we're going to go to a high mountain apart. We're going to get some rest. It's amazing how people make decisions when they're tired. My father-in-law told me one time, he said, one thing that you don't want to do is make a decision when you're too happy and too sad. It's good information. And sometimes we're so tired and we make decisions and we're mentally and emotionally tired. Get some rest. Get into your prayers. Get into the Word of God. Get your quiet time. Have a thankful heart. And then ask yourself, where do I go from here? And things begin to clear up. But the last thing you want is to get a degree from School of Hard Knocks. That degree is costly. You want God to navigate your life. Well, Brother Bonner, it just sounds like you're saying that God needs to navigate every single decision I make. And my response to that is, why not? Why not? It's my life. Once you obey the gospel, it's his. It's all his. We're just servants. So hopefully I gave you something to think about as it relates to mental clarity. My phone over there. I'm going to give y'all these. So y'all know I ain't talking crazy out of both sides of my mouth. Twelve signs that you lack mental clarity. Y'all be thinking I'm just up here talking. Number one, you come to a major fork in the road and are unsure about what to do and which path to take. Number two, you struggle with minor decision making. Minor, not major, but minor decision making. Number three, you feel confused, overwhelmed, stressed, anxious, or tired. Number four, you're in a fog or you feel brain dead. Number five, you rehash the same situations or problems over and over and over again. Number six, you feel stuck. Number seven, you are chronically disorganized. Number eight, you feel ineffective and unproductive. Number nine, always have too much to do. Number 10, easily distracted. Number 11, operate by consensus, meaning that you need other people to help you make decisions all the time. Number 12, constantly questioning yourself. Well, Brother Bonner, we all fall in there. Well, that may be true, but friends, the Bible has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge. Which means that there's not one issue or one problem that I can't go to God with because I need to cast all my cares upon him, for he cares for me. Which means that I ought to be able to go to the Word of God because God created me. He know I'm dust. But he knows that I'm spirit, meaning that I have mind and will and soul. And I need direction. So question, who's navigating you? When was the last time you consulted God? Consult God. Keep him in the forefront of your mind. Maybe you're not a child of God. And maybe you're not thinking about mental clarity. It is hard and difficult to navigate your way out of sin without the Word of God. Let me go ahead and go this way. It is impossible to navigate your way out of sin without the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you know that if we didn't have the Bible, we would have to rely upon what man has said in antiquity, in documents about a good man, a great man, possibly a prophet that lived and never hardly made any mistakes? This is probably what they would say about this man and say, you know, he's a good man. We heard about him, but you need the Word of God to come out of sin. So you have to believe that. Believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. But maybe a child of God, things are just not that clear. Sometimes we can even deceive ourselves into thinking that things are really clear, but they're not clear. Let's think about those things. Let's arise out of sleep and awake to righteousness. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.